Log Talk Radio.
Huh?
Oh yeah.
Well, don't forget to save us a table.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometimes I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious dreams of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
I'll give you time. Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us so that the words that are spoken this evening, Father, are yours and not mine. Now, Father, we ask you to be with us, to give us the guidance that we need. Help us, Father, to strengthen our faith so that we can walk upright in thy sight. Now, be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, Father, and we ask this all in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. As I told y'all earlier, we're going to be getting into a little thing here to share with you, because I have always, and for the past several years, I've been teaching about the fall of the church. I've watched the church fall. I know how it fell. I know what caused a lot of it. But still, there are things that caused it. It's still coming out even. A lot of it was caused because mankind can't get along with each other. Here in Meade County, where I grew up, I was born on part of Fort Knox Reservation. Lived in a little town called Oolite. Most of you never heard of it. It's actually just outside of Muldrow. The reservation is back there. And then I grew up down here at Grayhampton. Went to my first year of school in a little one-room schoolhouse that held all 12 grades. One sat next to me was a fourth grader when I was in the first grade. you learned a little more than you learn now in school. Because you heard different things. But anyway, getting back to our churches. At that time, was here in Meade County, really you only had three churches. You had the Baptist Church, Methodist Church, and the Catholic Church. Well, this little town down here that I grew up in, Grayhampton, right up the road here from the church here, we had two churches, Methodist Church and Catholic Church. They sat there on the hill, side by side. Their cemeteries today are there side by side, and the only way they're divided is there's a fence down between. Most of my family is buried in that cemetery. Now, they all taught the same thing. They all baptized the same way. They all baptized in Jesus' name. And it didn't matter. I was raised in what really was called the Baptist Church. But we didn't have a Baptist Church there in Grayhampton, so we'd go to the Methodist Church. And it didn't matter, but one time you'd go, maybe you'd go several times, and the Methodist preacher would be there. Next time you went, you might have a Baptist preacher there. That don't happen nowadays. Because that Methodist Church ain't going to let no Baptist preacher behind that pulpit. If you don't go to that Methodist cemetery, because that's what they are to me. They call them seminaries, but they're the cemeteries to me. Because they're killing the preachers. You don't get in the Methodist pulpit unless you go to their seminary school. And then one group in the church got to where they couldn't get along with another group. We'll just go start our own. So now we've got seven or eight different kind of Baptist churches. They don't get along with themselves today. My ministry, when I first started preaching, one of the first churches I preached in was the Nazarene Church. And one time, that was a strong church. Same thing is happening there. This group on this side of the church couldn't get along with this group over here. We'll just go start our own. That's where your Pentecostal church came from. It was off the old Nazarene church. Wasn't long then till you had another split. You had the Church of God come along because they come off the Pentecostal church. 3 or 4 years down the road, off of the Pentecostal and the Church of God, came what they just called the Full Gospel Church. Still splitting. So they couldn't think of no other name to name it, so they started calling them non-denominational community churches. Right here in Meade County now, you've got the Southern Baptists. You've got the First Baptists. You've got the General Baptists. You've got Calvary Baptists. You've got the Independent Fundamental Baptists. And they won't even talk to each other. What makes mankind think that heaven's going to be divided to where they're going to find this church over here, this church over here, another one over here, and a different? No. Name one church, and that's his church. And that comes from that book right there. This is the guide. This is the information and all that will get you into heaven. And without this, you've got no way of going. But they're trying and have been now for a good many years. As I said, I've watched it in my lifetime. It hasn't happened just in the last 5 or 6 years. This has been going on for years. The first thing the churches changed was baptism. They quit baptizing in Jesus' name and went to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the way John baptized, because that was right for him in his day, because that was the way he baptized for repentance, because he had to recognize the deity of the Godhead. But with the church age, we all have to go through Jesus. No other way. There ain't no other way. We can't go around him, over him, or under him. We've got to go through him. The 6th chapter of Romans is on baptism. I haven't got enough time to really cover everything that I'd really like to share with you tonight, but I got enough that I can give you a good example of what I'm speaking about tonight and let you see and begin to understand how and why the church is falling. Here on page 4 of this book, this great evangelist that wrote this book, one of our well-known evangelists that wrote this book, states in here that the 6th chapter of Romans has nothing to do with water baptism. That's mainly what the whole chapter is about. But anyway, the title of this book is called The Cross of Christ, God's Prescribed Order of Victory. Sounds like it ought to be good, don't it? Should have been. But here on page 4, I'm just going to read just a little bit here to just get you started kind of into what I'm speaking about. It says, there is only one answer for sin, just one, not 10, not 5, not 2, just one. That answer is Jesus Christ and him crucified. We all know that. Sounds like going to be good, don't it? We agree with that. Paul wrote, and I quote from the Exeter's Study Bible, but this man, this priest, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He's got in parentheses here, says, refers to the great contrast with the priest under the Levitical system who never sat down because their work was never completed. The work of Christ was a finished work and needed no repetition. Consequently, if we offer to the fallen sons of Adam's lost race any other pancreas, any other hope, any other way of means of victory than Christ and the cross, we are feeding a lie to these poor individuals. And here's where a lot of the trouble started with this book. The cross of Christ is the only thing standing between mankind and eternal hell. Now here, he's beginning, and he's beginning softly to lead you from the Lord Jesus Christ to where you worship the cross instead of Christ. We are feeding a lie to the poor people and individuals. Number one, the cross of Christ is the only thing standing between mankind and eternal hell. Two, the cross of Christ is the only thing standing between the church and total apostasy. You're starting here softly to lead the church and mankind with his preaching away from Christ to the cross. Now, I'm going to take you on over here now to, like I said, I haven't even read all of this yet, but I'm going to take you back here, to take you slowly. Let's go over here to page 7. And we're going to talk here just a little bit about grace. He is. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If we make anything other than the cross of Christ the object of our faith, we frustrate the grace of God, which means we stop its action. And the Holy Spirit will no longer help us. For if righteousness came by the law, any type of law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, he's got a lot of truth here. Because we don't live by the law. The law is fulfilled with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of the church age on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to us. He says, if I can successfully live for the Lord by any means other than faith in the cross, then the death of Christ was a waste. It is easy to observe all these schemes and methods which are delivered up from the modern church as to how to live this life. It is the purpose-driven life, the government of 12, the word of faith, plus scores of others, all to no avail, and because the cross is either totally denied or ignored. That cross holds nothing for you and I. And all it held for Jesus was death. He is the way. He goes on down here now and he says, the grace of God is simply the goodness of God extended to undeserving saints. Grace, pure and simple, is made possible by the cross. See, he's even leaving Jesus out now, pointing you strictly to the cross. God doesn't have any more grace today than he did before the cross. Due to the fact that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins, which meant that the sin debit remained, the Lord was limited as to what he could do as it regards the extension of grace. The Lord was limited to what he could do, according to him. Because he's pointing everything to the cross. Since the cross which has taken away all sin, who took away all sin? The cross, according to him. Since the cross which has taken away all sin, at least for all who will believe, the Lord can give to us an unlimited supply of grace However, we must ever understand that grace is predicted totally and completely on the cross. It means exactly as we have just quoted what Paul said, if all these things can be done without the cross. All these things can be done without the cross, then Christ died in vain. Now, we're going to jump over here to 11. Now I'm going to lay this book down. Over here, it's this that I'm going to be sharing with you is under the heading of the revelation of incomplete. Even though the Lord that morning proclaimed to me exactly as to what the cause was, and I'm speaking of the cause of failure, still he did not give me the solution to the problem. That came several mornings later in one of our prayer meetings. Without going into detail, that detail is given in our study guide, the cross, the sin nature. The Lord spoke to me that morning, and grandly so. He told me three things. Here's what the Lord was supposed to have told this man. One, the answer for which you seek is found in the cross. If you want an answer to your prayer, go to the cross. It's found in that cross, according to him. Two, the solution for which you seek is found in the cross. Three, the solution is found only in the cross. Solution to your life is on the cross, according to this man. This great evangelist, well known, highly regarded, is none other than Jimmy Swaggart. This book's 117 pages, all about worshiping of the cross, not Jesus. Jimmy Swaggart. He goes on in there. I didn't go on in that because it's too much more reading. Too much more time. But he tells you that this baptism we're talking about here in Romans chapter 6 has nothing to do with water baptism. Denying. And you see, that's the way we put the Lord Jesus Christ on. It's through water baptism. That's why you hear me speak so much about baptism. Because those that are baptized wrong today, they're still walking around, has never been and done their first works over, has never been rebaptized. They're walking without the Holy Spirit. Because until they do their first works over, he's not going to come and live in it. He's not going to do it. He will not live where there is sin. And until you are baptized in Jesus' name and you have put him on, he and you in him, the Holy Spirit's not coming to you. The Word tells you that. You see, this is why we go to church, is to learn. Because this is the guide to your life. whether you'll ever make heaven your home or not. And if you don't know it, you listen to a lot of stuff like this that leads you down the wrong pathway. Sounds good. A lot of that book, you read it, sounds good and it's true. But it's where it leads you to. Leads you away from Jesus to the cross. Baptism. Here in chapter 6 of Romans, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did I get dead to sin? How'd you get dead to sin? Yet that's something we've got to do. How'd you get there? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Tell me like baptism is kind of important. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also should walk in newness of life. You see, when you're baptized and you're laid back in that water and you are being buried, baptized in Jesus' name, you're being buried with him. And then as you're raised up out of that water, you're being raised in his resurrection. You're putting his resurrection on. You're being raised in newness of life. Your life from that time on is not just yours only. You have then become an instrument, a servant that God can use to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with others out here in the world. Now, just as it told us here, even we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This word tells me I can be in his likeness. Where are we seeing that in our churches today? To where the pastors and the people of the churches today are walking in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not seeing it. Because mankind wants to do things their own way. Lord, I understand, you know, and I believe you're right. But now, Lord, I can do this my way. No. You do it his way or it don't get done. Like the testimony I shared with you about the time he come and told me to go to a church. He was moving me. He was taking me out of the state of Florida and was going to put me in the state of Tennessee. Gave me the actual, in the vision, he gave me the highways, the highway numbers and everything to take me right to that church. And I told him, I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. But now, Lord, I've got this going and I've got to finish this first. I was painting the house is what I'm doing. This is part of my work. Now, I made him that promise. And I kept that promise. I finished that job. I finished it that week. Got my car, headed out. Took the directions he gave me, pulled right out in front of that church. Church member. Evidently, she was secretary of the church. Lived just across the street from the church. She seen me pulling the driveway. She come across the street and wanted to know if she could help me. And I told her, I said, well, yeah, I was sent here to see about pastoring your church. She looked at me just as funny. She said, well, I'm sorry you've made the trip for nothing, but you're 2 days too late. I'd made that trip for nothing because I'd done it my way instead of his way. But this is what man's doing. And they're doing it all around us today. They're doing it their way instead of getting in God's word, taking the time. We have to make time for church. We have to make time so we can study his word, so we know what is truth and what is not truth. Instead of just sitting back and reading books like this, that's going to take you down the wrong pathway. I've got several of them at home, by the way. And you see, if I didn't know any better, and I wasn't walking strong with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, I'd accepted this as truth. It's all right for me to get my salvation from the cross. It's all right for me to put my faith in the cross. But see, I know better. That cross is just an instrument of death. It was used to put him to death. He goes on there to tell you that the cross is the completion of what was to happen. No, it's not. All it was a way of death. They could have took his head off. But back then they did do that too. But his people, because they were so down on him, wanted him to go through the worst death they could find, and that was crucifixion, because it took him 6 hours on that cross to die. Horrible, hard death. Then I'm supposed to worship that cross? No. You see, I worship him and the Heavenly Father. That's why the Bible tells us how to pray. Very few people know how to pray according to the word. We got people out here praying, they pray to the saints. They pray to the disciples, they pray to his mother. They waste some time. He tells us in his word. God's word says, pray to me, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. And I will hear you from heaven. And you know, if I hear you, I will grant your wishes. We are to pray to the Father. That's where everything comes from. But it comes to us through Jesus. And it's brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit. when you are praying to God and what you receive from God, all three are at work for you. The Father gives it. He gives it to you through Jesus, but it's brought to you by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now you also do find what we call the Lord's Prayer. That's also in here. But how does it start? Does it start with one of the saints? Praying to one of the saints? No. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start out by recognizing the Father, Almighty God. And the next thing you're doing is you're giving him praise. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You're asking to walk in his kingdom right here on this earth. And if you are a born-again child of the living God, you can do that. As I was telling you earlier, and I think I told you, Dennis, just before Dan got here, about the doctor having a fit about my examination I had. Just had to go because I have to go once a year to the VA for a yearly checkup. He couldn't get over my statistics. My vital signs was vital signs of a young man 30 years old, and I'm 88. He couldn't get over it. But like I told you, God's been taking care of me a long time. I only come to you because I have to. The V says I got to once a year. My blood pressure. Yeah, I'm a man 88 years old. My blood pressure was 120 over 72. He told me, he says, you know, I haven't found anything wrong with you. I told him, I said, no, the only thing wrong with me was one of your nurses in here couldn't hit a blood vein. She missed. Had to go to the lab and get poked again in the other arm. And I don't know why she missed it, because as you can see, you can follow her. You know, trouble finding it, but she missed it. But this is all because when we do things the right way and we give God his time. You see, that's another thing that we don't look at. We are to give God tithes. Tithes is not just money. Tithes is also of your time. A tenth of your time is due him. What's a tenth of 24 hours? What is it, Dennis? What's a tenth of 24 hours?
1.5 hour. 2 hours, 4 minutes.
Yep, 2 hours and 4 minutes. Of every day, your time belongs to him. How many spends that much time with God a day? That's why we're in the shape we're in today. That's why we're seeing this world fall apart. We haven't been giving God what is his. And that's why we don't have any idea of the truth of God's word and how to walk in it. Well, I've got other things I've just got to do. No, if you give your time to him, you're supposed to give to him, you decide everything would be in place. So I was telling you about him sending me to that church, and I was 2 days too late because I'd done it my way. Don't tell where I've been today. I'll never know. But I didn't do when he told me to do it. I done it, but I done it my way. It didn't work. And then on top of it, at the time, see, what helped me up was I owned the biggest house painting company on the west coast of Florida. You can call anybody down there, they tell you. I'm well known in that area. I was painting 300 plus homes a year. I was working 28 men. And because I didn't do what God told me to do when he told me to do it, and I done it my way, shortly after I got back from that trip, he told me, he said, get rid of that company. It's in the way. I give it away. And the man I gave it to kept it a week and sold it. But I've never regretted it. But I learned one thing. You don't wait. When God tells you to do something, you don't wait. Because if you do, you're going to lose. And if you do it, and you do it when he tells you to do it, and you do it like you're supposed to, you'll find you never want for nothing. And you don't go against God and do what mankind tells you to do. Oh, well, you get in trouble. So what? He gets you out of it. They told me to close church doors. Well, you all know I didn't. I didn't miss a service. They told me you can be fine and go to jail. Fine. Go ahead and find me. Then you can put me in jail because I ain't going to pay the fine either. He just looked at me and said, you just mean nothing to it, ain't you? Try me and see. Because I'm not going to listen to man. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to that one above. And anybody that knows me will tell you. If they know me and know me well, they'll tell you. He'll do exactly what he said he'd do. And that's why I don't worry about it. I don't worry about this covert out here and all of this stuff. And them telling me, oh, you got that. You just got to take that vaccine. No, I don't. I ain't going to. Well, you know, they're trying to get it out of work. If you don't take it, you'll not be able to buy anything or nothing that way. You won't be able to get no groceries or nothing. Good Lord, take care of me. I ain't worried about it. I ain't going to take that vaccine either. How did he feed Elijah when he sent Elijah down by the river?
Birds.
That's right. Fed him with the birds. Had the birds feed him. Birds bring him food every day. God can take care of you. And will take care of you. He tells you, he will supply your every need. But you've got to belong to him, and you've got to be walking in obedience. And if you don't spend time with him and in his word, you don't know what the word is saying. You don't know what the truth of it is. So how are you going to walk in it? Walking to what you think is good may not be good enough. because it may not be what he's got planned for your life. The moment you accept him into your life, he already has a plan for your life. And his plan will be anything you can ever come up with. I know I've been walking that way now a long, long time. I've been mocked. I've been lied on. I've been lied to. Not lied about. Been mocked a whole lot. Was mocked because of the way I met my wife. Well, how'd you meet her that you mocked about? I met her at a dance. Here you are, a preacher, and you're dancing? Oh, yeah. Love dance. Don't dance. That's it. Dance, see me dancing.
Yeah. I learned to follow the bass line from you.
There ain't nothing wrong with dancing. It's what you do with it. It's how it's done, how it's used. The Bible tells you to dance before the Lord. Didn't know it was in there, did you? It is. Nothing wrong with dancing. It's what you do with it. How you use it, just like with anything. I can go down to dance and sit and go in there and sit down and say, I want a cup of coffee. And when I sit down with that cup of coffee, I can make that cup of coffee wrong. All I've got to do is sit down with that coffee and say, you know, I shouldn't be drinking coffee because coffee ain't good for you. Leave it alone. You made it wrong for you. Right then. It's just that simple. I made it wrong. Nothing wrong with it. But I made it wrong when I said it was. I made it wrong for me. I didn't make it wrong for you. I made it wrong for me. We're told here. Now, you see, when we were baptized and it was done right, we put on his burial, his death. We were raised in his resurrection. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, this is the next verse. We're told how he had to do and how he had done and how he was living unto God the Father. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're just like him, or we should be. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Sin's going to come to you. Temptation is going to come to each and every one of us, but it's what you do with it. You don't have to let it in. You can keep it away, which is what we're supposed to do. just because we're tempted. And let me tell you something. Things change. I'm going to give you an example of something here. All of us in here right now are men. We're all male. We go downtown, especially in the summertime. You see these young 20, 30-year-old gals in town getting around, got on micro mini skirts, top open all the way down to the navel, tempting you. She's dressed that way. She knows what she's doing. She knew that and she put it on. She put it on to get men to look at her. Now, when I was younger and before I started working and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I'll grant you, that would have been temptation to me. Yes, sir. Probably been the first one trying to get a hold of her. But after I really got a hold of the Lord and the Holy Spirit there with me, when I see that now, you know the first thing that pops in my mind? And this is no lie. First thing that pops in my mind, she don't think anything of herself. Right or wrong, Dennis, it's exactly the first thought that pops in your mind, won't you belong to God? She don't think nothing of herself. She's not making me want her. She's fixed it so I want nothing to do with it. Because she's no longer good looking to me. That's one thing I do like about the Mennonite ladies. They cover up. They're not out there trying to get the men to look. For a long time, I didn't know about the difference between the Amish and the Mennonites. It was when we learned that. And a lot of people, they don't know. You meet an Amish lady anywhere out, you can speak to her, she'll never speak to you. She won't speak to a man. You meet a Mennonite lady out there, speak to her, she'll speak to you. And yet they both dress the same way. Except now your Mennonite ladies can wear brighter colors. The Amish ladies can only wear just a couple of different colors. But the Mennonite ladies now can wear the bright colors now. They still wear the long dresses and the whole bit. They stay covered up. They're buttoned all the way up. But they will talk to you. I met one, I had Libby with me when I met this lady. I'd been trying to get a hold of one of the Mennonite men because I knew the difference between, the main difference between the Amish and the Mennonites. The Amish live by the Old Testament. The Mennonites believe in the New Testament. They're stronger in that Bible than most of our churches. And I was wanting to learn a little more about the Mennonite church. And I seen these two ladies coming out of the dollar store there in Irvington. My wife's sitting there in the car, and I told her, we're back, getting ready back out when they come out of the store. I told her, I said, I'm going to holler to these two ladies. And she said, they ain't going to talk to you. I said, yeah, these will. And then she just looked at me. And so I got out of the car, walked up to the two ladies, and I spoke to them. They spoke. I told them, I said, I've been looking for a couple of the Mennonite men folk. Can you tell me how I can get in touch with one of them? One told me, said, tell you what, you give me your phone number and I'll have them call you. So I did. I gave him my phone number. And that night, one of the men called me. He introduced himself and told me. And I made arrangements to meet with him and another man in Hardinsburg at McDonald's for a cup of coffee and to talk. And I met him there. I have been getting their book now. They put out a book every other month. Comes out for 2 months at a time. And I've been getting that now for about 5 or 6 years. I gave you one, didn't I, Dennis? And let me tell you something. They're strong in this word. They are really strong in this word. I've had two different Mennonite couples visit me here at this church. The first couple that came in was about middle age, and they were looking for another church because their church was splitting for some reason. I didn't get into it. But they were looking for another church, and they thought maybe this one was going to be available. I don't know. But they went on about what a good service it had. They loved the service. And invited them back to them. They'd be welcome. I did find out later that they was looking for a church that would be, that was empty so they could start one of their own. Well, then, just here a while back, I had another couple come in, visit with me. And they liked the service. And he told me, he said, there's some more that we want to talk to and see if we can't get them to come with us. They never did come back. But they're strong in this word. And I told both of them, I told them, I said, you know, your all's belief, their belief, what they believe in, and all their creed, is right on the back of the front cover, their book. It says y'all about their beliefs. I told them, I said, I could have wrote that belief for you. Well, except for one thing. And that's your women's head covers. I told them, I said, now don't get me wrong. I'm not against a woman covering her head in the church. I'm not against that at all. I've got ladies come here, visits with me. And you know B does. She comes in, she usually got a hat on. I told them, I said, I don't tell them to take it off. That's fine. But I don't believe in it like you all do. I don't believe that they have to have it covered because the Bible says that God gave their hair for their covering. That's why they're not supposed to cut their hair. I told them, I said, because that one told me, the license came in to him and said, we really wasn't sure whether to come in or not. I said, why? The sign out there says everyone welcome. He said, yeah, but we wasn't sure because of her covering. I told him, I said, I told you, I'm not against that. The only thing I stand against is why they are doing it. It's because they're made do it. When their hair is given to them for their covering. But as far as their kids, wearing their covering, that's all right with me. I'm not against it. But just the reason behind it. Because you find that in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Tells you all about it. Also tells you man ain't supposed to have long hair. He's supposed to have his cut. He's supposed to wear his hair long like a woman. But look how many out here today doing it. See, men out here today got hair longer than a lot of the women. They're not supposed to. It's all in God's word. But we just don't take time to study at all and take the time with God that we need to take time. And like I said, 2 hours and 4 minutes of every day of your time is supposed to be spent with Him. You can spend that time in church and in God's Word, learning. But you need, until you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to where He gives you the revelation of the meaning of God's Word, you need to be with others that can. Because His Word tells you that until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't understand God's Word unless somebody explains it to you. And they can't explain it to you and explain it right unless they are doing it by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why things are set up here with my ministry like I've got them set up. It's like Dennis. God was dealing with Dennis to become a minister. But he had to full time as a deacon first until I knew that we would be on the same page with God's Word. In other words, there wasn't going to be two different teachings coming out of this place. Whether he was teaching or whether I teach. Now it's like with Kenny. Kenny will be here Thanksgiving. He's going to be spending Thanksgiving dinner with us. But if Kenny's preaching, I don't have to worry about what he's going to say or how he's going to say it, because he's going to give it to you according to the way the spirits give it to him. That's the way the church is to grow. But that's why it's growing slow. Most people don't want that. They want this ear tickling stuff and telling them, oh, it's all right because you can't live without sin in your life. You just got to sin. Everybody sins. No, everybody don't. The born again child of God does not sin. The Word tells him that. That's not me telling him. That's the Word. 1 John 3rd chapter tells him that when you are born again, His seed remains in you. The Holy Spirit remains in you. And you cannot sin because you are born of God. Then I'm going to stand up here and tell you, oh, it's time. You just go ahead and commit that sin today. You ask God to forgive you tonight. And you commit it tomorrow. And tomorrow night, same thing. No, it don't work that way. The 10th chapter of Hebrews will tell you better than that. You see, it's all in God's Word. Once you know something is sin, you leave it alone. Now, yes, we'll all do things we shouldn't do. Because even, I don't care how long I'm in the ministry, how long I study, I will still not know it all. The Word tells you that too. But the things that I will do that I didn't know was wrong is not held against me. But I ask God to forgive me for that. Then I don't do it anymore. Once I find out it's wrong, it stops right then and there. So once I find out it's wrong, No, you're walking on dangerous ground then. Real dangerous ground. In fact, you can go back. I'm going to hit this and we're going to close because I'm running a little over with you tonight. How about that? I don't never run over. Then sitting there laughing at me. I know he is. All right. Now, here's what God's word says about that. I'm going to start here with verse 24, because I'm going to leave it in its setting. And the one that I really want is 26, but I'm going to start with 24. And let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And that's exactly what happened with all this church closing. He's already told you right here not to do it. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, once I know it's sin, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins. Once I know a sin, and I have been forgiven for it, don't do it no more. There's no more sacrifice for that for me, because now I know better. He goes on. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He tells you, you don't do it after. A child of God does not commit sin after he knows something is sin. You leave it alone because you've got more sacrifice for it. You see, this is why it's so important to get in to a good study of God's word and to learn so that we can walk upright and make heaven our home. Because unless we do, we don't stand a chance of making heaven our home. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word and to learn, Father, how to walk upright. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, a land, Father, that walked with the Lord, a land that was first in the world with the gospel, standing strong, Father, without any excuse, turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, took him out of every place he was in, standing against your church, Father, and against your people. Father, we ask that you help us to remove from our government office those that are against the church, against your people. Help us to replace them with ones that will work for your church, work to help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can put him back, Father, into every place he's been taken out of, making him, Father, our Savior for this land once again. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name, Father, is mentioned, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, will touch them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses in the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, I pray that they are walking close enough with the Lord Jesus Christ to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. For this young man that has been ordained into the ministry, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and that he is a minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost can go that are walking in darkness and find light, and that light being Jesus. Fill that church, Father, with one there that will keep the Holy Spirit in that place. For my young friends in Pakistan, Father, for Pastor Haroon Islam, for Pastor Barak Mishai, for Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, these three, we do pray for them to be kept safe, kept in health, and their needs met. Because, Father, they walk in lands to where if they're caught with the gospel of Jesus, will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, the Lee family, my wife's family, my family, and for each family where the member will hear this service, Father, may the Holy Spirit walk with these families and work with them. Lead those that are walking in darkness, lead them from that darkness, and bring them to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, Father, and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Monvillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, these all stand in need of the healing touch. Touch them in a mighty and great way, Father. Touch them so they'll know that it is you and not mankind, Father. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you now, Father, to keep us through the night as we prepare to separate to go our own ways. Bring us back together again come Sunday morning, Father, so that we can be back to in your word again. Now, Father, we know you love us. We love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. And Father, we love your word. And we ask this tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, we can all be together 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Brother Dennis will be bringing what God will lay on his heart. So until then, have a great night. Good night and God bless.